Hi, Happy New Year's everyone. Welcome to show number 42 of the El Cafecito Travel Talks, a podcast where people share travel stories and adventures. My name is Tony Lloyd and I'm your host. For today's show, which is our first show for 2021, we're actually going to catch up with George from show number 33 and show number 37. And he'll tell us about how it's going for him here in Ecuador. But before we start, I would just like to wish everyone a Happy New Year's. Hopefully, it's all starting off good. And this year, we hope to have the opportunity to start traveling again. I'd like to remind you that if you'd like to donate, to please take a look at our podcast notes to see how you could do so. We've got the written stories on our Facebook page. And if you're someone who likes to write or have an idea for a future show, please send us an email to elcafecitotraveltalks@gmail.com. Any comments, questions that you might have, or ways in which I can improve on the show, please send me an email to elcafecitotraveltalks@gmail.com. So for now, please get yourself a cup of tea or a coffee and enjoy today's show.
So this is George Griffiths for the third time. Hey Tony, how you doing?
I'm good, George. It's good having you here. We're on the rooftop having some tea, and I'm sure there's a bit of background noise behind us. I hope people don't mind about the background noise.
Just a little bit of rain.
Just a little bit of a rain. Okay. But finally, you're here, and it's been over a month now, right?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Okay. So people have been asking, where's George?
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo? Exactly. So what if... Oh, now we've got the police sirens. We've got everything.
It's a good time. There's a party going on.
Well, this is a part of our real life here.
Yes, sir. This is part of Cuenca. That's right.
Okay, George. So what's been happening? Tell the people what's been happening with you.
Actually, it's been a blast. You know, I want to thank you, Tony, for having welcomed me here, you know, with open arms. It's a great place, man. Cafecito is a great place. I can't explain how much I appreciate the fact, you know, I mean, you've been here for 20 years and all the, I guess, the advice that you were able to give me, you know, really, really, really paid off. Because, you know, when I left Cafecito, when I left Cuenca, one of your suggestions was, George, you need to see the country. And I do. I wanted to see the country, but I was having such a good time in Cuenca. And if it wasn't because of you, I probably would have still been in Cuenca. The fact that you advised me on where to go and, you know, places to stay and all the connections you had, it was just so easy for me and it was so much fun. So when I left Cuenca, as you know, I went to Las Tunas.
Okay, well, let's going to hold off on that first, okay? So I think what people want to hear first, okay, so how was it? Tell us about your first impressions. What are some of the things that you found to be, like, just different from being in Canada? What were some of your first impressions?
So off the bat, just everything here costs a dollar, you know? Okay. And it's kind of funny, people might think that's a joke, but at most things here are packaged or presented in a way that it's a dollar. You know, I mean, even taxi rides, you know, a taxi ride that would be $10 in Canada is like a dollar or $1.50 here. You know, if you go to get and the most incredible food, freshest fruit, and because as you said, there's different microclimates here, and so there's all kinds of fruits and vegetables all year round, except they package them in a way where it's a dollar. It doesn't matter if you're buying cherries, strawberries, avocados, oranges, whatever it is, it's a dollar. And I just found that so unique. You know, I've never been to a place where you can get anything for a dollar. And that was the first thing that struck me.
Okay. And how's the weather been?
You know, again, the weather is, depending on where you are, so the altitude when I first came here affected me more than I thought it would have. Having looked into it a little bit, I realized that there's no rhyme or reason to, you know, your height or your weight or your athletic ability. It affects people, you know, differently no matter what. And it was a little bit tough for me to get used to. And what I noticed is when I left and I went to the coast, when I came back, it was easier. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like my body acclimatized.
Has adjusted.
Yeah, has adjusted. So I guess I needed that adjustment time. But yes.
So all the steps that we have here in the hostel doesn't help on your altitude.
This is a vertical hostel. This is not a horizontal. This is vertical. So it was quite challenging for the first, you know, week or two that I was here. But now it's not that bad.
But when you get to the rooftop,
it's worth it.
Tell them what you see from the rooftop.
Best view. The best view in Cuenca. And it actually is a spectacular view. And you have on Sundays, you have something called a Sunset Sunday, or yes, Sunset Sunday. Sunday Sunsets.
Sunday Sunset.
Sunday Sunset. Sunday Sunset. And it is the best place, you know, for a view, and the sunsets are incredible. It's quite breathtaking, man. So you got a great place here.
Okay. It's been 6 weeks now.
Yes.
Are you still thinking this was the move for you?
Yes.
Or are you ready to pack your bags and go home?
No, I actually just rented a place. As you know, I signed a lease for a year. And in Cuenca.
Explain to us a little bit about what you have been doing in the last 6 weeks.
Well, what any red-blooded Canadian single man would be doing, drinking cold beer, is what I've been doing for the last 6 weeks. Okay. I've been burning the candle at both ends, my friend. You know, I've been having a good time as much as possible. And, you know, the cost of living here is low. And, you know, everything associated to life here, you know, is very affordable. So I've been having a good time. You know, I've been enjoying the weather and the beautiful people and all the local beers and the good food and whatnot, you know, so I've been really giving her.
Okay, so you were here in Cuenca for a few days, for a few weeks.
Yes.
And then where did you go after Cuenca?
So my first stop was temporarily was Puerto López, because it's the bus terminal. So mm-hmm. from there I went to, which is a simple 10-minute drive, I went to Las Tunas, mm-hmm. was my kind of my base. It's super quiet, and it's what I really enjoyed about it. It was really, really quiet. And you know, if you wanted to do a little bit of the partying, right next to it, you know, was Ayampe. And then if you really wanted to get a little crazy, about 25-minute car drive was Montanita, where the second most popular, you know, club, you know, in South America is called Lost Beach. And I was there intermediately, where, you know, everything wasn't closed, but everything wasn't open. So I still got a feel of what Montanita could be like. And at the same time, it wasn't too hectic where, you know, where I couldn't take it and had to leave, because people were telling me, you know, when there's no COVID or when it's, you know, when it's flat out, you know, rocking and rolling, you can't sleep. You know, it's a town where it's 24/7, you know, it's a party. So I think in a way I got lucky, where I can see a little bit of how crazy it could get, but it was still calm enough where you can sit down and enjoy. You know, there was room at tables at restaurants and whatnot. So on that note, I got lucky. But then I was there for Christmas, and during Christmas and the holidays, everything shut down. You know, the I mean, the police rode on the beaches. You know, I think it was 10 o'clock was curfew. There was roadblocks, you know, so, and it was a little bit disappointing.
But yeah, the president gave us a warning that everyone had to shut down.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
no more than 10 people in any event.
Oh, yeah. And the beaches, like the beaches were shut down. And on, I got lucky because I was at Las Tunas, which is super quiet. So we still got to walk on the beach and take advantage of the beach. But if you were in Montanita or a more popular place, you literally had like special forces. I don't know what they were, but I mean, these guys were serious. Like, they were on the beach and patrolling with four-wheelers and, you know, so. But I guess I got to see, you know, both sides of the coin, you know, when the lockdown and a little bit of the party. So I had a good time.
And, you know, people are probably wondering, what was it like to move about the country during this time? Apart from Christmas and New Year's, where there were very special restrictions. But right now, what would you say to people about if they want to move about? Is it something you'd recommend?
You know, that's a really good question. Down? And yeah, I would. I didn't realize how easy it was, to be quite honest. I didn't realize how easy it was. You know, you get these really nice buses where, like for us, it's like the Greyhound bus, like equivalent to a Greyhound in Canada, mm-hmm. which is high-end, you know, comfortable seats and air conditioning. And $8.50 will take you for like 5 hours, mm-hmm. you know, and it's incredible. Like, I mean, you know, and it's really good service. And one thing that's really unique that I've never seen anywhere else, while you're on the bus, periodically there'll be stops or they'll slow down and there'll be people running next to the bus and they'll jump onto the bus and they have products for sale, whether it's chocolate, whether it's bracelets, whether it could be coconut water, it could be you name it. And it's just a really unique experience. It's something that, you know, I've taken the bus several times and I still don't get used to it. You know, sometimes, and each person has got their own speech, you know, their own pitch. And they'll get on the bus and some people will use Jesus and some people will use pictures of their family on their phone, you know, showing, look, I really have a family and I'm trying to sell, you know, whatever they got to do to, you know, to make some money. But it's a unique experience, and traveling is super easy. Even during like the COVID times, not during the holidays, but, you know, still COVID here and people are wearing masks and the rules are in effect. The buses were never full, but always available. Like, it's incredible. You know, every 45 minutes or an hour, there's a bus leaving from a one main city to another. So it was quite easy.
So you will definitely say you're enjoying your transition here.
Yes, I am definitely enjoying. Look, I would highly recommend Ecuador to anybody, and, you know, especially Cafecito. Like, I mean, seriously, Tony, like, I'm not stroking your ego, man, but you've been here for 20 years. and any place I've been, whether it was Las Tunas, Puerto Lopez, Montanita, Ayampe, any place I've been, you've had someone there for me. So, you know, even Guayaquil. So, you know, if I call you and say, oh, you know what, I have someone for you in Guayaquil, George. You call them and, you know, and they'll help you out, whatever you need. And every single person you've introduced me to was polite, trustworthy, you know, even Manta. You know, when I thought about going to Manta, you had two people in Manta for me, you know. So if anybody's thinking of coming to Ecuador, I would strongly suggest to come to El Cafecito and make this your base for a while and go from there. So,
okay. Was there a moment, George, where you were like, oh my gosh, I should be home in Canada? Has there been a moment?
You know what? I got to admit, no. Like, not a real, look at yourself in the mirror moment where, you know what are you doing? You know, no. You know, I've always felt that no matter, you know, how many days I hadn't slept or no matter how much fun I was having, that this was the place for me. You know, I've never felt like, you know, I got to go home. Never.
Even with sirens going on behind us as we're trying to talk.
Even with the police, you know, chasing me right now, that's
right. Okay. I'm sorry about the sirens, folks, that are going off behind us. Hopefully it'll stop in a second. Okay, so the sirens have stopped. You were just saying,
yeah, they didn't catch me.
So the police haven't gotten you. So
not yet.
Okay, so what have been some of the other unusual things, apart from the everything costing a dollar and the sirens going off while we're trying to talk?
Some of the other unusual things, you know, considering the fact that I've traveled, you know, to other, I guess, similar countries, I haven't seen anything that really kind of culture shocked me or, you know, that I found extremely unusual. I don't know, if I had to pick one, so everything's a dollar. Well, one thing that is kind of unusual, and we actually spoke about that today, Tony, is there seems to be no center ground, no middle ground. So you can find, you know, restaurants here, you know, with $200 bottles of wine, and, you know, you can find great food or almost as good, you know, as these high-end restaurants for like $5 a plate. But there seems to be no middle ground. You know, there seems to be no middle ground, and that's true, you know. And that's kind of one of the things that I kind of guess I find unique or you know, or strange.
So things are either really cheap or really expensive.
And you know, and the funny thing is when you say cheap, so cost-wise, yes, really inexpensive, but the quality of the food is great. I mean, and I think part of that reason is because the ingredients are so fresh, you know, because they have, you know, such a different selection of fresh ingredients. And even the chicken, you know, as an example, I mean, everywhere you walk, they're selling chickens for $5. Like, I've never seen you know, and actually that's unusual. I've never been to a place where I've never seen so many people selling so many chickens in my life. I don't know where these chickens go. Like, I mean, there's so many chickens out there. They have to be throwing these chickens away, Tony. Like, there's nobody who's buying all these chickens. You know, like, and you know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm not even joking.
I know what you're talking
about. I'm not even kidding, man. Like, you know, in Cuenca, every single street corner, lining up the street, there's vegetables and fruits. And I don't find it strange to see many people selling avocados or, you know, many people selling cherries or whatever it is. But, I mean, I've never seen so many chickens in my life, man, you know. And, you know, I get slightly uncomfortable because I'm thinking to myself, it's hot out there. Like, how is it safe? Like, who gets the bottom chicken? Like, you know, when you sell that 42nd chicken on the bottom, I mean, how safe is that, right? But, I mean, that's something that I find really unique. I never seen so many chickens.
Well, one of the interesting things about Cuenca is that there are 52 churches here in Cuenca. And the people of Cuenca, or the people here in Cuenca, believe that God will always protect you. So that's why God is protecting us from salmonella and making sure that we don't get food poisoning.
You know, hey, whatever works, man. Like, you know, if it works, that's all good. Because I tell you something, on that note, you know, being from Canada, you go to a grocery store and any meat, you know, is being refrigerated. Even the eggs, you know, you go to buy eggs. I mean, and they're cold, like they're being refrigerated.
We don't refrigerate eggs here.
No. And I mean a lot of eggs because, you know, imagine there's a lot of chickens, so there's a lot of eggs. And they sell eggs. There's no 12-pack eggs. It's 24 stacked high, and it's insane. And I remember the first time I bought the eggs, I didn't even register. It didn't register to me. When I came up, I wanted to put them in your fridge. And you were like, you don't need to put the eggs in the fridge here. And I was like, what do you mean? And then it kind of hit me. I bought the eggs out in the street. They weren't in the fridge. And you told me, you said, God is protecting you here. Don't worry, there's no salmonella. And you know what? I rolled the dice because, you know, I believe in Jesus. And I rolled the dice. And it worked. Like, I didn't get sick. I went through the whole 24-pack of eggs in like a week and didn't refrigerate one of them. So, I don't know. There's something going on here. It's the altitude. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Okay. Well, the shop that sells the eggs doesn't have refrigeration either. Yeah. But that's an interesting point. I guess I've been living in Ecuador too long to not notice that there's a difference.
And you know, but if you think back to when you were in Canada, right, everything is refrigerated. Meat, you know, all meat is refrigerated. And here you walk down the street and the butcher shops, right, quote-unquote butcher shops, they have those, I guess, the glass, you know, counters where the meat is sitting in there. And there's no refrigeration, like zero. You know, you'll go there every day and there's meat in there every day. And what I've noticed here, though, is even if you go to the high-end restaurants, the meat is salty. You know, and I attribute that to part of it being that they use salt to preserve it. Because I wouldn't understand why, you know, you go to a high-end restaurant and, you know, the meat would be extra salty. But I guess I'm just attributing it to, you know, if you're buying meat here, the only way they preserve it is by using that salt, right? A lot of salt. So, or Jesus. It's salt or Jesus. It's one of the two, man. But, you know.
Combination of the
both. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's Jesus' salt. I don't know, but it works.
Okay. So, $5 chicken, the $1 for all the different products.
Yeah.
What was it? Was there a moment? I know that everything's not always going to be perfect, but was, you know, did you have one of those moments where you're just like,
yeah. I did, yeah. Man. You know, and I did. And I tell you one thing, being a Canadian, I like to, you know, we have a reputation of being polite. And we have a reputation of being, you know, kind of a generally honest kind of population. And it's not the truth for everybody. I mean, you know, but as a whole, we have that reputation in the world. And, you know, I'd like to consider myself a reasonably honest person. And, you know, I've worked and I've tried to make money my life. And even though, you know, whatever I was doing, I tried to stay reasonably honest. You know, I'm not saying I haven't, you know, bent the truth or anything. But, you know, when you're a salesman, sometimes, you know, you got a pitch or whatever it is. But I always try to stay honest. But it's a little bit different here, you know? Like, I mean, there's been a point where I told you that I went to buy some Oreo cookies, and I don't speak Spanish very well, but I can understand. And the lady had asked, or the daughter was working behind the cash register, and she asked, I think her mother, she said, you know, how much are the cookies? And I was pretty sure I heard her mother say like $1.50 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I had bought a whole bunch of other things. And when I saw her punching in the register, I saw her punch in $3. And I asked her, I said, are the cookies $3? And she shook her head no. And her father was standing, you know, right next to her. And I kind of double-checked with the father. I said, you know, are the cookies $3? And he looked at me and he said, oh, yeah. You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, if you want to pay $3. And I was like, I was a little bit taken aback. You know, like, that won't happen in Canada. Like, you won't go to a store. Like, usually, you know, the prices are on whatever you're buying. And it's, you know, they barcode it, you know, and it goes through. And whatever the price is. You know, but over here, I found
that... So there's no gringo tax.
There's no gringo tax, you know. And over here, I found that, you know, But I understand, man. You know, it's a little bit harder for them here, and I get it. You know, they're trying to make some dollars, and they look at us, and you know, they see an opportunity, whatever. But it hurts my feelings, man. Like, it kind of took me aback a little bit, you know, because I feel like I'm being robbed. You know, I feel like, you know, that's the only thing where sometimes I would get a little bit, you know, sad or disappointed, you know, and then I got to pay attention. Now, you know, when you're going to a store now, you just got to be careful. You got to be vigilant, you know, because it might only be $1, you know, or $2, but still. You know, $1 here, $1 there, $2 here. That's the only part where I was a little bit disappointed. But then, you know, when you think about it, this is pretty much a third world country. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for them to get water. You know, so if they can get, you know, an extra dollar from a gringo, you know, they're going to roll the dice. But, you know, being a Canadian, you know, where we don't do that, you know, that's the only slightly disappointing part. So I would only say if, you know, anybody comes here and visits, you know, Ecuador or any similar country, just keep in mind that, you know, if they can make an extra dollar off of you, they will. So just be extra careful, you know, when you're out there so you don't get taken advantage of. You know, like, I bought a Gatorade, a bag of chips, and a bottle of water at one store. It cost me $3.50. And I bought the same thing at another store, and it cost me $1.50. So, you know.
It happens. What have your friends and family back home have to say about you? You just told me you're going to get an apartment, you're going to stay for a year. What are they saying about that?
Well, right away, their first question is, well, you know, what about your visa? You know, what are you going to do? How are you going to do that? And I already looked into that. So I know that you can stay up to 6 months, you know, so I got a visa for 3 months already. And then I have to extend it for another 3 months. And if I choose to stay, I have to show, you know, guaranteed income. So I kind of have that plan so I can, you know, I can stay here successfully without having any issues. But, you know, the rebel in me says, you know what, if I got 6 months legal, you know, it's not like you're going to hunt me down and, you know, throw me out of the country. You know, I just need to behave and not get arrested again. And it'll be fine. But it's strange thing, Tony. I remember when I was sitting in Canada thinking, you know, I'm going to Ecuador and this and that. And, And now I'm here and I'm talking to my friends, you know, who are back in Canada, and they're in the grind, you know, they got their 9-to-5 and, you know, they're living the script, and I'm kind of living a dream. You know, I got to be honest, man, the cost of living here, and it's a beautiful country, it's paradise, and it's like I'm living a dream. Sometimes I literally got to pinch myself, you know, and like I said, I just got this really nice place where in Canada I'd be paying 3 times the price I'm paying here. You know, my friends are happy, but at the same time, they're so caught up in that wheel, that, you know, hamster wheel of life, where, you know, okay, George, you're okay, great, you know, whatever it is, and it's hard for them to believe that I'm going to be gone for a year, maybe forever. You know, I love it here, man, and if it works out, and I start an online business, and I'm hoping to start generating some money from my computer, and if that happens, well, you're going to be stuck with me, man, so.
Okay, well, maybe you should explain to them a little bit about, like, for example, as you said, you just found a place. Give them a little bit of a description of the place, what the facilities are like, and so people have an idea of what the difference in prices are.
First of all, I'm in an area called Gringoland. So literally, you can get into a taxi and say, can you take me to Gringoland? And they know where that is. So it's the highest concentration of Americans, or expats, if you will, you know, in this area. So you go there. So the building is great. It's 6 stories. It's brand new. There's a lap pool, a jacuzzi, Turkish showers, a gym. There's 24-hour security. You know, as soon as I sign the lease, I guess I pop up on the screen now, so when I walk in, you know, and I have a fob, so when you swipe your fob, the security guard sees what, you know, apartment you're from, and I guess my name's there, and he's like, you know, hello, Senior George, you know, and it's just, you're treated like royalty, it's just great, and then it's a one bedroom, but there's a huge balcony, incredible mountain views, you know, a bathroom and a half, you know, like super fancy shower, leather couches, like fully furnished, internet, you know, water, heating, you name it, for $650 a month, you know, and I tell you, you might be thinking, wow, that's amazing. It's actually a little bit expensive, you know, here, because if you go to another area, if you're willing to go out of Gringoland, you can get something very similar for $450, maybe $500, maybe not as nice of a building, but still, you know, a great place. And I know people who are from Ecuador who have, you know, a 2-bedroom, you know, quite larger, you know, same thing, big balcony for $220 a month. But, you know, you're in an area where, you know, when you're an American or Canadian, they look at you like, you know, you kind of don't belong there. It's not an area where they expect you to be. I'm not saying it's dangerous. I'm just saying it's there's not too many Americans or Canadians there, okay. You know. But, like, I mean, like I said, the cost of living here is just incredible. It's just...
And we all know that in any major city around the world, Toronto, London, New York,
Montreal.
Paris, Montreal, that apartment will cost 3 times.
Easily. Like, I mean, easy. You're paying $1,800 easy to live in that building.
Okay. Somebody's listening to us right now and they're thinking of coming down. What sort of words of advice do you have for them?
I would say find yourself someone, I don't know if it's someone or an organization or something, but like I said, Tony, at the beginning of this interview, I was kind of a little bit blessed because, you know, I come to a country where, you know, this is a third world country, and, you know, you're, you know, no matter where you drive, you're reminded that there's poverty and that there's, you know, it's kind of sketchy sometimes, you know, and if you're not comfortable with that and if you're not, you know, used to that kind of environment, I would strongly suggest having someone that you can lean on, someone that you can trust, will be able to guide you, you know, and tell you, listen, you can go there, but, you know, don't go in that area. Or if you're going over here, you know, take this bus and travel like this. So one, you can be safe, and two, you can maximize your time, you know, because, you know, again, if it wasn't because of you, even though Ecuador is a small country, there's so many things to see and so many places, you know, to go, you know, it becomes, where do I go? What do I do? How do I get there? You know, what's the best way? Where do I stay? What's safe? What's not, you know? And again, you know, because, you know, I've had you, it was so easy. It was like, hey, Tony, what? And he was like, no, you go there, you call this person, you know, don't go there. So speaking for me personally, it was a lot easier, and it made my experience, you know, so much better. So if, you know, if anybody's planning on coming to Ecuador and they don't have anybody, just call Tony.
Just call Tony.
But it's true. Okay. I mean, think about it. You know, Montreal can be very dangerous, but, you know, people are hungry here. You know, there's a different level of poverty here, you know, and when they see you walking around and, you know, you're glowing in the dark because you just got off the plane and you're glowing white, you know, if you're going the wrong place, it could be dangerous like anywhere else in the world. So, you know, like I said, if anybody's planning to come to Ecuador, I would strongly suggest it. It's a beautiful country. There's some really nice people, but, you know, plan ahead, you know, plan ahead, make sure, you know, you're organized. I wouldn't suggest just showing up in Guayaquil you know, and not knowing where you're going to go, you know, and jumping into a cab, random taxi, and saying, hey, you know, take me to wherever you think is best. I wouldn't think that, I wouldn't suggest that, you know, and New York wouldn't be a place to do that either, you know, as an example, right? So, you know, just plan, you know, plan, and if you plan properly, you'll have a great time. It's an incredible place. So.
Okay. Well, George, yeah, it's, you know, this whole process of people who have been listening in to the first show before you left Canada, while you were on your way here, and now you're finally here. And tomorrow you'll be moving into your new apartment here in Cuenca.
Yes, I will.
And becoming one of the Cuenca expats.
Yes, I will.
Okay, so thank you for taking this time to sit down and talk with me. And maybe we'll have you on a fourth time.
Yeah, where's George? Yeah,
where's George? We'll have some updates. Absolutely. Where's George?
All right, thank you. Good night.
Thank you for listening in. As always, I hope you enjoyed the show. George's information can be found in our podcast notes, along with information on how you could donate to our show. It could be as little as $1. Don't forget to take a look at the Facebook page to see the written stories, and if you're someone who likes to write or have an idea for a future show, please send us an email to lcafcitotraveltalks@gmail.com. Any comments, questions on ways that I can improve, also send me an email to that address, which is lcafcitotraveltalks@gmail.com. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everyone a very, very happy New Year's, and hopefully we'll be able to travel again soon, and we'll be able to see each other here in Cuenca, Ecuador, or in our sister location in Quito. But for now, all the best, and please stay safe.